Okay.
Good morning. Good morning, listeners. Who stop me if I've heard this, but Susan Reisenhardt Krug.
Yes, we're Zooming one more time, and Art and I were just commenting on how the Zoom camera seems to add 20 pounds every time we get
That's what it is. It also adds 15 years, you know.
Yeah, it does. Jesus, so God.
That explains a lot right here. Well, yeah.
Give me the COVID. I'm ready to go.
No, I got to tell you.
No, I'm not.
I look a little extra old right now because I'm tired, and I'm going to try to amp up the energy. And I've been drinking herbal tea to get me jacked.
Well, by all means, give me a call on a Friday morning when you're not energized.
Normally, I'm fine. Friday mornings at close to noon, no problem. Last night, Liam went out late, which he likes to do with his friend who quarantined in a hospital for 2 weeks. So they're safe, but they go to remote places in the middle of the night. He loves that, just making us worry. And like about 3 in the morning, Catherine's up working on her script, and I get up to use the restroom, and I hear the front door and the screen door shut, and I go, oh, I better shut the bathroom door, Liam's home. And so I do, and then I don't hear him go up the stairs, and Catherine comes up, she goes, Liam? And she hears something. And she goes, Liam, are you okay? And she goes out and looks on the porch. The door is still locked. And nobody there. But we both heard separately the screen door shutting and the bells on the door handle jingle.
Was somebody going out the door? Had he come home and gone back out?
No. And so I got the flashlight out, and I'm out there in my Crocs and shorts. I don't know what I was going to do. But
there you go. There is an image. That's something somebody's going to catch on their Ring across the street.
I am going to slap you with these rubber shoes in a minute. Get off my porch.
Stand back. I'm not wearing briefs.
But I got this great powerful new flashlight, and I'm looking all around the house, in the backyard, in the side yards. I'm shining it everywhere. There's nobody anywhere. But she definitely heard not only the door handle being sounded like open, but apparently just somebody yanked on it. And she heard some like thumpity thump out on the porch and a voice too. So my theory is that it's just somebody who may be drunk or lost but why would
you have to be really drunk not to fall down those 15 stairs that you have going down?
Yeah, it's hard enough.
I mean, that is not an easy porch to get up, especially if you're drinking.
I know. That's part of it. It's like a moat for drunks.
It is. It's
you
huge.
You can't get up it or down it. Safely.
Right. That's just, that's weird.
So freaky as hell. And then so,
sure that Liam didn't come home?
Can I tell, back up a step? We've been watching I'll Be Gone in the Dark, the HBO show with Michelle McNamara, Patton Oswalt's late wife, who wrote the book about the Golden State Killer. So we've been watching all these episodes about how he likes to sneak and like Jimmy open a window just a little bit in preparation to breaking in. And, he watches from outside. So you watch an episode of that and every cricket you hear, you're like, oh my God, that's it. It's him. I'm calling the cops, every noise you hear. Oh,
well, by all means, I'm going to watch that because I live alone and I leave. Yeah. That's.
Oh,
crazy.
You'll love it.
I don't live alone, by the way. I have a huge dog.
That's right. Anyway. No help against him. Anyhow, so we're on edge already, and so I'm awake. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just like playing words with friends, like trying to relax myself into sleep. But on the other hand, I'm like, God, should I fall asleep? Is that how they do? Does he wait an hour for me to fall asleep?
I know
your head's doing that. Finally,
I know,
and then an hour later. I'm of the impression that Liam is across town, way across town somewhere, with Elaine, his friend, and the door opens. So I grab the flashlight, and I'm like, oh, shit, here we go again. It's Liam. It's Liam.
Well, that's good. You finally came home.
God.
That's so weird.
That was like half a night just robbing me of all that sleep.
Well, if it was one of you, that's one thing, but both of you heard it.
Oh, we definitely heard it. There was definitely somebody out there that jiggled the door handle and shut the, you could hear the screen door shutting. It makes a distinctive bang kind of sound when it shuts. And
yeah,
we have a bells on the, you can see behind me there, we have bells on the door handle.
I have bells on my door handle too.
Right. It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I have it on the, yeah, yeah.
We both heard it separately. It wasn't like just somebody made it up. So I still don't know who was out there and what they were doing out there. And, you know, if they'll be back.
I also have magical sparrows that surround the house that tell all the woodland animals if I'm being attacked.
Okay. So like Snow White?
Right. Yeah, that's the fantasy I live in.
They live on, they land on your finger and sing to you?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Whistle a happy little tune.
Who knows? We had a
that's very strange, Art.
When she landed on her hip so hard we thought we'd have to go to the ER. As she was able to get on her feet and move inside the door, and then as we're standing there assessing how bad it was,
right,
deciding do we need to get in the car and go right now,
yeah,
this middle-aged black man came walking up the stairs and no mask, you know, and he I go, oh, hi, and he goes, do you believe in Black Lives Matter, right? And I'll go, well, yeah, I do, I of course I do. Right now, I have to tell you, I have kind of an emergency. I don't know if my wife has been bad enough to go to the emergency hospital. He goes, oh, can I help? I go, I don't think so. I just have to get her, maybe get her in the car, get her to the hospital. I don't know. And then he started asking more questions. And I said, look, I really can't talk right now.
I know. I got to go.
I'm sorry. And he goes, oh, so you, I see you don't believe Black Lives Matter.
Right. He said that to you?
Yeah, and he walked back down the stairs, you know. Like, oh, I said, okay, bye-bye. You know, I don't believe your life is helping things right now, you know.
I know. Do you believe that my wife's hip may be broken? That matters right
yeah.
now.
Do you believe hips matter? Do you believe?
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad. It was, that
you know, so apparently he was just going around playing this guilt card up and down people's stairs to try to panhandle. And, you know, okay, you're poor, you're homeless maybe, and you need money. Maybe I would have helped you if I weren't in the middle of this emergency situation. I wasn't going to go look for my,
right.
for cash, which
yeah.
I don't even use anymore. And if I would have been, had a minute, I would have said, look, here's a mask. At least wear this if you're going to be walking up and down people's porches and asking them for things. But I think there was maybe some other mental issues going on there too, not just racial.
No, there was something else going on. He may have been the one that came to the door last night.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that I'd go that far. That was.
Well, I mean, I don't even. Yeah. I know, maybe not. That's. I mean, I'm not saying.
Who
that
knows?
Because,
I think there's people, more and homeless
and I'm not
people
saying
in our neighborhood
it's
now.
This person. I'm just saying. I've been robbed twice by people that came to the door first.
Oh, then they came back and took stuff
mm-hmm.
off that porch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, the more homeless encampments there are all around Portland.
Oh, it's which, so sad.
It's heartbreaking.
God.
And
damn.
The more that happens, the more you know we're just a resource to them.
That is such a blight on Ted Wheeler's.
Yeah.
You know, he may be heroic right now downtown and doing all this stuff, but he still has a big problem that he never solved, that he never worked hard to solve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, the homeless population in Portland is off the charts.
Yeah, he's been pretty friendly to investors from outside of the state
and
of
the
Oregon.
Housing, yes, and the housing
yeah.
needs to be here's my theory. This is what I would do. There's going to be a lot of buildings that are, I know. Hello. Could we?
You got the COVID.
This is a podcast where you hear old people make noises.
Sneezing and clearing their throat.
I know. Clearing their throat, sipping coffee. a lot of office buildings are going to become obsolete. I mean, people are not going to be working from, they're not going to need the spaces that they had before.
Yeah, right.
I'd say you retool some of those office buildings, have the city buy them, and put in shelters or apartments, low income housing, with, you know, facilities in the building that, you know, can help people, you know, find jobs, find, you know, resources.
There are programs going on in Portland right now to help people transition back into a working life.
That's good.
And you know, actually, we should look these
up. Do you have their phone number? Because I'm going to need that.
God, I know, man. We're all stone's throw away. We're all about one month away. Hey, but you have good news. The Oregon.
Oh, well, slow down. I know it. Now I'm
calling you on the phone.
I was awake all night wondering if I made the right decision and filled it out right.
I'll tell you, if they would have called me, I would have said, come on, who is this really?
Yes, Monday morning after, or was it before our podcast? We didn't do it Monday. Did we do it one Monday? We did. I can't remember. I thought we talked about this already on the other podcast.
It's all Corona Day.
Didn't we talk about, anyway. Yes, I get a phone call from the state of Oregon, and I, you know, how we were talking about the screening calls. I mean, we look at the phone number and go, am I getting that one?
Right. Yeah, if it's from Florida, New Jersey.
Yeah, I don't know anybody there. So I answered the phone. I was like, oh my God, 503 Salem. Oh my God, 503 Salem. And I answered the phone, and I was so excited. I swiped and then hit the button and I hung up on them.
Oh, God. Oh,
and I didn't mean to. And so she called, but she called back. I was, my God, I'm so glad you called back.
Oh, wow. It's like two miracles in one day.
I went, oh, my God, you called me back. And she's laughing. She was a very nice person. She said, okay, I need you to verify some stuff. I verified stuff. She says, okay, this is regarding your application. I said, yes. She says, here's what's happened with most of the applications filed on with PUA on or around the date that it launched, is that they created either PDF files and the system could read the type, but couldn't read the check boxes. So they came in blank.
Oh, God.
I was like, oh my God, what?
So all this time you've been waiting.
Yes.
And yes. This is just you. This is.
No, she says, this has been a huge problem. And now they have a new system where it's all read by the computer as you file it. It goes in, it doesn't create a PDF and then has to be physically read by a human being. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So I said, well, what about my, you know, all the weeks that I've filed? She says, we have all those. Those are all there. Now we want you to resubmit your application. And please, she helped me with a couple of the questions that are really weird because.
Oh, the way they word them.
She says they're worded really badly and many independent contractors and self-employed people they don't apply to them at all and they don't know how to answer them. Yeah, you know, did your boss call you back to work?
Right.
No,
yeah,
I don't have a boss. I am my boss. And
Are you not able to not get to your place of work and stay away? Are you unable to not get, you know, it's like, it's all.
It's worded really, yeah.
It was able to get to work. That was one of the questions. Yeah.
It was slapped together. It was really slapped together. So she helped me with a couple of those. And and she told me about, you know, she says, you think you put no for everything. She says, but a couple of the questions you have to really read them about if it. So I told her what I did for a living and actually she said, oh, I thought that was you. And I don't know what that means. So,
oh,
Okay.
Well, yeah.
And
well, yeah, so if she lives in Portland, yeah, that's not surprising. Or even in Salem, you know, there's a good of your name before.
So I resubmitted, and she says now the computer. I said, will I get? Will I go to the back of the bus now? Do I start over? And she said, no. It's fine. It'll read it. It's much faster now. It'll read it. It'll approve it. We don't need proof of income. You qualify for the 13 weeks of 600 plus the 205 regular.
Hallelujah. Oh my God.
And I said, okay. But I'm having taxes taken out.
Well, of course. Yeah, why not? Yeah, why deal with it later?
Yeah, I'm not going to mess with that later because
I thought that was on the initial.
We won't have the deductions then. I had deductions on my last. You know, we always have deductions because we travel and we work and we do this. So we have.
True.
But now we don't. I don't have that.
Do I get a deduction for sitting on my butt and watching Netflix?
I know that's exactly it. So anyway, that was great news for me. Yay for me! Hopefully it'll work and we'll get the. You know, of course we're coming up to the deadline, the 8th of August. So maybe by the 8th of August, something will have come through.
I don't know if that's even a deadline. I think that's just a date they put out there just to get people to shut up about it.
True. You the 600 ends, the extra 600 ends the 31st.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So I think we're at the end of that. I don't think we're going to get the...
Get any more CARES Act. Mm-mm.
No, it won't go from that week to the first week of August. It ends on the 31st.
And they're talking about replacing it, you know, but it's all up to the Republicans and Mitch McConnell.
Well, this is what I read, that it's, you will get the 205 automatic, but they'll add another 200 automatically.
Yeah, you know, and then if you want... is that poor people are just getting too much help right now.
I know. And then
that's the part
if you want to...
infuriating.
If you want more money, then you submit your 18 months worth of income to prove that you need this for your business. You need this to live on.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that they're still going to keep that clause that you can still try to qualify for more funds.
Right.
Yeah. God forbid people should have a little bit of money.
There's going to be a lot of people out of their homes in the next few months. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people without any health care. And it's going to get more tragic before it gets better. But thank God Trump is on the air. You know, all the talk show hosts were talking about his mental acuity test that he took. to see
you did just take a couple seconds? Nope, you're crazy.
Was that Seth Meyers was saying that he was bragging about it. But it's like, it's not an IQ test. It's a test to see if you're okay. Like if the umpire or referee in a boxing match holds up two fingers or says,
and you see six,
what city are we in? That's not a geography test. It's to determine if you're okay or not.
Right. Yeah. Well, did you hear the judge, they tried to keep Michael Cohen in jail. And and he's supposed to be out on a house arrest kind of a thing. And they just got slapped the hell down because he came out with this. They want him to sign this agreement that he can't speak to media, plan this, do that. They don't want him to write the book.
Right.
So they're willing to keep him in jail where he can't have access. And a judge says, no. He gets out.
Mm-hmm.
He's under house arrest. You can't stifle his First Amendment.
Right.
So
back
off.
Right.
Well, and he goes, this stands. There's no more appeals on this. This is done.
Oh, good.
So he's getting out. He's going to get out. His wife's going to.
You know, another good news thing federal judge did just right about this morning was to ban the Homeland Security thug officers from arresting or harassing reporters or onlookers at these riots and these protests. like a lot of reporters have been a block away from it, just reporting on it, and they've been getting arrested.
They've been put, well, not even arrested. They just get put in a van and taken to a public building, a federal building, and then
They're trying to hide the fact that it's going on. They're actually trying to hide the people who are clearly have a camera.
Yeah.
And their excuse for arresting them is that they couldn't tell the reporters from the writers, which one of them has a $7,000 camera?
Right.
And lights aimed at them.
Right, exactly.
And makeup and hair.
It is tough to choose. It is tough to discern.
It's such a lie. And the judge wasn't buying it. He said, sorry, you can't do this anymore. So that's good news. You know, that's on one little front.
Yeah, well, I'd like them to the hell out of, just get the hell out. Yeah. I just can't believe. Having this, you know, we talked about this the other day. I posted a video. I couldn't believe that video. I could not believe it. I was just floored that those kids had medical supplies. They probably had bandages and, you know, alcohol and, you know, stuff to clean wounds in their backpacks. They're not medics. They're just somebody there, you know, helping people that get beat up.
Right.
You know, and then try to get them to safety. And they were on the streets downtown Portland, and they were leaning over this person who was on the ground, and they were trying to talk to him and probably trying to assess if he had been hurt or if he was just tired or what, you know, what was he doing on the ground. And these very aggressive camouflaged, the desert camouflage stuff, they're in desert camouflage. They have no insignias on any of their uniforms, so you don't know who they are. And they come down, they've got gas masks on, and they start throwing, tear gas, thank you, at these kids that were on the ground helping this person. They're trying to get this person out from the tear gas. They have to drop him because now they're being chased by these guys with big old sticks or bats or something.
Right. And part of the reason for the tear gas too is so that it will obscure what's going on from the cameras.
Right. And they've got their somebody keeps their phone on as they're running, and they've got it aimed at the back, and you can see these guys with these bats coming at them. And then they fall down and they just start beating the hell out of them.
Yeah.
Out of these kids, they don't even have a weapon in their hand.
Right. Yeah. It's horrific. It's just awful to watch.
I just went, these are Americans. What the hell are you doing?
This is just Trump trying to get his ratings back up again. He doesn't have a clue how to go about it. He just thinks he gets to be the tough guy dictator, and that'll work for him.
The problem is, I think he has a plan. He definitely has a plan. And he's trying to form his own, kind of his own army. And here's my theory, and I told you this the other day, and I thought, well, that's a good idea. Because I think when he's defeated in November, and he refuses to leave in January, because he won't want to leave. He doesn't want to leave. I say, okay, well, let's just lock up this White House, put padlocks on everything. He can't get out.
Is that right?
We don't want a White House anymore anyway that was built by slavery. We'll just build Joe a new one. And then
just down the street.
Just build him a new one.
And then they have to grab a lot somewhere.
He can be over on Cape Cod if he wants to, wherever the hell he wants to.
Hey, there's got to be a Hollywood version somewhere, right?
Yeah, somewhere.
There's got to be like an Oval Office somewhere, you know, in the studio.
Let him have it. It's old. It's you know, it's gross. It's let him just have it. And then
because
Melania will fucking hate it.
She'll be
ready. He doesn't get a staff. He doesn't get anything. He gets groceries delivered once a month.
By Instacart. He has to order them himself.
Instacart. Yep. And have an armed guard goes and brings him in. You're in jail.
Yeah,
we'll just do what you've done to this country.
So let me tell you what we did yesterday.
Please do. Something, get me off this subject.
Yeah, because we all see it. And it's depressing. But here's what, yesterday I decided to re-landscape the pond in our backyard, which has...
Well, you are desperate for stuff to do.
Well, it's needed it for a long time. And so, but that what that entails is that all around the pond holding the rubber liner in place is flagstone that's like 3 inches thick and about
heavy.
Some of it 16 to 18 inches across. They weigh 50 to 60 pounds. Some of those,
some yes, of them, they do.
Some of them I had to just roll lengthwise to it, the spot, and then kind of scoot into place. But I'm telling you, by the end of it, I've worked a weight room, man. I have worked.
Are
out.
You sore today? Are you I'm really hurting. Sore today?
I'm hurting. And then good news, went out to the pond this morning, and I think we re-chopped the length of the tube. So it's like it cascades over this several layers of rocks down into the pond now.
Trouble Another object is, for the koi.
Well, we don't put fish in there. Hell no. Okay. The trouble is now those rocks are angled. Some of them are angled back away from the pond just a little bit. So some of the water is dripping out away from the pond.
Oh.
So I went out there this morning. The water had dropped considerably. Oh. I don't know what to do about that. If I have to redo all of it. Or just what?
Can you just change that rock?
Oh, there's like 12 of them.
Oh.
Stacked on top of each other.
Oh.
So it's not a matter of just changing a rock.
Well, that'll be a little physics problem for you. How do you do that?
I got to figure it out. So, yeah, that was my little morning. And the doggy has just been as sweet as you can
I know.
Be.
Let's just talk about the puppy.
Yeah, boy.
The other thing is, yeah, I know. We're really getting – this is getting – we have got to get a life.
Oh,
you've got more of
did.
A life, but this is there's just like, – we haven't been funny for so long.
Oh, God. It's so – you know, it's hard not to just be furious all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to watch less news. Actually, there's Jim Gaffigan just came out with a new special on Amazon Prime, I think.
Oh, good.
So that's good. That's something fun to look forward to. There's still...
And the puppy. Okay, we're going to have to post pictures of the new puppy.
Yeah, she looks like...
We don't have a name yet, right?
Ruby.
Ruby. Oh, even better. I like it.
Yeah.
Ruby.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart, man. She's just as sweet as she can be and very puppyish. And she's still really nervous about anything. You scold her, you look at her cross-eyed, and she curls into a little ball and hides from you. You know, she came from the streets of Mexico, and they were throwing rocks at her, and they saved her. So she's coming along, but she's only 14 weeks, and she's going to be a confident, sweet little girl. She's already sweet as she can be, man, and her eyes would. But she got those little baby teeth, so we've got a number of toys. And I warned Catherine, get your slippers up. But, you know, she already lost some insoles to one of her.
Yeah.
There's,
you got to keep stuff off the floor that aren't doggy toys.
Man.
Yeah.
You got to prevent.
No socks, no nothing.
No, nothing.
Pick it up. Oh, yeah. That's so,
it's
you know,
be
when
a chore,
I had.
But we knew that, and that's part of the deal.
Right. When I had Hagrid here, you know, he's so big that he got into the cat toy basket that I had for my cat.
Uh-huh.
And he just. He wanted toys to play with, you know. And I said, fine, he can rip up anything he wants to in there, you know. And he just went at it. And so now the toys are depleted. But,
they're mulch, the garden mulch at this
point. But he's, you know, they are. And he's, how old is he? He's 8 months. He's 8 months old. And so he's and 75 pounds, which is actually light. He should be more.
Yeah.
He's not, he's pretty skinny, but.
But a beautiful.
God, he's a beautiful animal. Oh my God, he's such a beautiful animal. And Ruby is so sweet.
She is, man. She's only 9 pounds right now, but she's supposed to, she'll get up to about 20 or I don't know. We'll see. Well, she looks like a miniature Vizsla. If you've ever seen those.
Yeah.
That's what she's sort of shaped like right now. And interestingly enough, our roommate, when we first got married, who was living with us here, had a Vizsla named Ruby. So, you know, we thought, well, maybe we shouldn't. But, you know, I think Amber would be happy to hear that there's another Ruby in the world now.
And, but
she's a tiny little thing and very delicate and very careful. But she falls asleep on your lap and just...
I'm telling you, you wanted a bigger dog. But I told you the minute that puppy gets in your lap, you would go, oh, it's okay. You can stay this size. This
I'm still kind of getting my head around the tiny, delicate thing. That's not my favorite.
She's going to get a little bit bigger. She's not going to stay that size.
And,
she'll get bigger.
And yeah, I'm sure she's a sweet puppy. We were happy enough. I was happy enough to connect our friend Donna Richards with this.
Oh, good. You did call Donna. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and she filled out the application and now she's getting in line for a dog. Like this one has two brothers that are equally as personality and sweet. And I don't know, maybe she'll get one of those, but she might be getting a dog too, man. This is great.
That's good. I'm glad you did that. That's so great. That's great.
Trying since March, right?
Susan Jones tried to get her a dog too, and boy, people have just snatched up the puppies.
God, no kidding.
You can't. It's really hard to find a pet right now.
No, if you can get a dog playing with toilet paper, it's like a shot of a Bigfoot. Nah, toilet paper's not that hard to get anymore.
Right.
Finally, people realize making more.
I know.
He's got toilet paper like they're a salesman, like they're a toilet paper salesman stacked up in their garage now.
Right.
Going on the road.
I'm thinking about it.
Full of it.
I'm thinking about starting to hoard it a little bit. I don't know.
We all got to think of something new. Well, I want to go back out to Costco and get one more ream of it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good. Pick me up one.
I would.
I'll get him. No, I'll get him. It's fine.
Do you have a Costco membership?
No, it's always seemed ridiculous. I'm only one person, and you can't. I don't need. My freezer is that of the top of my fridge, my tiny refrigerator. So it's like, you know, there's no storing 18 muffins or you know,
a crate full of.
Yeah, a crate full of rice. I just don't. Well, my brother will appear. I have my brother as well. He goes out. This is so boring. Let's talk about something else.
I think sorry, people folks, are fascinated get off on this. By
Costco. I know it's fascinating.
Anyhow. Was there something?
I had some stuff I was going to. Yeah. Well, I was just laughing about. I was looking at this absurd article where. And it's back to Trump because I can't believe he actually did this. Trump put in one of his cronies, one of his you know, people that gave him millions of dollars for his campaign. He gave this guy a job as ambassador to Great Britain. Okay.
Perfect.
And the reason he gave it to him is he wanted to get this guy to ask Great Britain to move the British Open golf tournament to one of his golf courses in the United States. I'm going, well, how would that be the British Open then? And honest to God, he pressured this guy to do it.
Of course.
Boris Johnson went, no, don't bring that up. That's not something we're going to have. And then it came right down to it. Now he's being investigated because that's against the law. First of all,
right,
he cannot use the presidency to gain profit in his own business. He just can't do it, which we all know he has.
We'll add that to the list.
I know.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So
I think he's really learned from this whole impeachment thing.
And here's the other thing I just saw. I glanced at an article today with a picture of the New York Yankees. During the national anthem, all took a knee.
All but one. No, the Giants, all but one.
Oh, this is the New York Yankees, I thought.
The Yankees did, yeah. I think most of the teams now are on board with the taking a knee during the national anthem.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense. You know, it's, come on, let's get with the century. But
well,
there was one...
It's, well,
pitcher for the San Francisco Giants that didn't take a knee, and he was using his Christianity as I'm a Christian. I'm not going to do that because I'm a Christian.
You're a racist, is what you are.
Too late, man. You just showed your colors. And you got to go back in the locker room and hang out with your teammates.
Yeah.
Many of them
yeah.
black teammates who are not going to be looking
at you. There'd be some towel snapping in there, pal.
It was great.
I'll make you take a knee, pal.
Man, seeing sports on TV, it's just, I don't know what to do. There's soccer, or as I'm always corrected, football. You Yanks call it soccer. It's football. We had it first.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's back. The Portland Timbers have won their group, and they're moving on to the elimination round.
Yeah, but are they televised?
They are televised live. Live events. There's no
Oh,
crowd.
The Timbers are?
Yeah.
How cool. Oh, that's good.
Here's what they're doing, though, for, was it the Yankees that did this? I think maybe. Mm-hmm. Where they did a digital crowd. They actually put in a fake crowd while you're watching it.
To give them some moral boost or something?
Well, to make it look to the viewers like there was a crowd in the stadiums.
Oh.
They just CGI'd a crowd right into the stadium.
Oh, I see what you mean, CGI'd. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all
I
right.
don't know how they do it. And I'd love to see that footage because it sounds amazing. Yeah. Boy, this opens up lots of possibilities. You could CGI the athletes for that matter, couldn't you?
Well, even Alex Trebek has said, well, we can't, you know, shoot any more Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardies. Uh-huh. So they're airing old Jeopardies on the station, and they're getting huge numbers. Huh?
Okay. People love Jeopardy. I shouldn't say anything.
No, people love Jeopardy, and they love going back and seeing people, that one that they remember, or, they're doing old ones. I think that's fascinating.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to have, a few months of old programming on television.
Right.
Why not? Bring back Gilligan's Island.
Uh-huh.
Bring back Dobie Gillis. Oh, my God, I am dating myself there.
Well, you need a cable channel called TV Land.
TV Land. They have TV Land, don't they?
Yeah. You get YouTube, right? On your computer, you can watch any of that stuff.
I know.
It's not the same as just flipping through the channels and there's My Three Sons.
Right. My Three Sons. You go, that's an old one, too.
Yes, very few of our listeners.
Yeah.
I don't know who our listeners are. Let us know who you are. Are you our age? Are you young? Are you older? Are you confused? You know, this is a show with two comedians, right?
Well, we used to be comedians. Now we're just shut-ins.
Now we're just angry shut-ins.
Shut-ins that mix our meds. That's what we're doing.
Venting.
We're mixing our meds and we're just...
mixing our meds, we're just venting. We're going around from house to house at 3 o'clock in the morning, shaking door handles.
I don't know if the civilians out there understand, and I say for civilians, and solely because, trust me, if you've been around a bunch of comics for any length of time, you'll understand they don't think the same way as most people. It became very apparent that I would have to change my whole. When I would be around my family, well, not so much my family, but say in a corporate, when I started doing corporate work,
yeah,
I realized that I couldn't go in and just riff with the person that was organizing. Because they're serious people. It's very serious stuff.
Oh, God.
You have to know when the desserts are going to be served. That way, we know that this is the time that we
have to start this at 7:05 because it's on the printout.
Right. It's not that they're not nice people. They're very nice people. It's just that
some of them anal compulsive about it.
You have this, you walk in with your energy and you've got to assess their energy so that you don't come off as just completely whacked because,
uh-huh.
You're ready to go. You're ready to riff. You're ready to have some fun. Let's play. Let's go.
Well, they bring in a comic, and they don't kind of know what to expect.
No.
They think we're going to maybe be dirty. They think
outside of balloon animals.
You'd never be dirty or inappropriate or corporate thing. That's for sure.
Oh, sure I have. Sure I have. Yeah. No, not me. I remember Brad Upton banging his head on the table at a Christmas party we did for this offshoot of Microsoft. And I didn't know I was talking to the CEO. And found out that he had challenged the whole company to a dieting contest during Christmas. Uh-huh. And he was telling me this, and I thought he was just an employee. So I got up on stage and went, "What? Who's the asshole that made you guys diet during Christmas?" And of course, Brad is sitting there right next to the guy, and he's banging his head on the table going, "Susan, Susan, Susan."
Because Brad's just squeaky clean with his act.
He is, and I opened up with asshole. Yeah. Maybe I said fucker. I might have. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yes, I've put my foot in it more than once. But
well, you get away with more than I could. If I said asshole on stage, there'd be people petitioning.
Well, I just look like I was raised wrong. So you look like you were raised right. Gosh, I look like...
Hearing that story, you know what that reminds me of? Remember crowds?
I know.
Remember comedians? So we're going to be explaining to the next generation. There used to be this job called a comedian where you'd go in to a room full of people.
Right.
Not wearing masks, all gathered together, closely together. The closer, the better. And you force them to laugh. And you get paid for that.
Yeah, they drink and they laugh and they...
You think our industry is going to survive this?
I don't know. Since this country can't get a handle on it because they won't sequester themselves or, you know, I think it's going
to
be...
People need to laugh. They'll always need to laugh. Is it going to turn?
It's going to be a very young scene because older people are still going to feel afraid to go out into crowds. I think the younger generation is not going to have a problem with, you know,
That's
sitting.
True.
I just think
they don't have a problem sitting in a swimming pool together, swapping drinks and passing the bottle around.
No, they don't. I just think that they have, well, we didn't either. I mean,
we didn't have coronavirus.
I know, but it's the ignorance of youth. It's that youthful zeal for life. Uh-huh. And, you know, you don't want to stifle it.
No, you don't.
But I think it's changed for, it's changed for older comics. I think it has. I think
it's going to change. Mm-hmm. And younger, I don't know.
I didn't want to believe that. But I think it has.
I don't know how it's going to survive. If it's just going to be strictly a video thing, because Zoom comedy, I'm pessimistic that's really going to catch on.
Well, I haven't seen one that really is captures the same. You can't capture the live performance.
The energy. A live performance has an energy that you just don't get anywhere else. Yeah. No. I don't know, man. Well, I'm hoping for the best. And, you know, the vaccine might be here in December, January. And maybe that'll help. But even then, it's not going to be 100%.
I don't think we're going to see comedy coming back anywhere except maybe later, late March, next spring.
Maybe.
I think it's going to take that long.
Yeah. Yeah.
If people learn how to develop a formula to put enough people in the seats so that they're still social distanced, that's going to be the issue, is getting people to actually want to come out.
You know, maybe outdoor comedy will be the thing now.
Well, I think a lot of people missed the boat this summer. We could have been doing that, but now it's
maybe, I don't know.
Well, Dave Chappelle shot his show.
Yeah.
Where it was all controlled. Everybody was 8 feet apart. And all the audience was required to wear masks.
Okay. And they were outside.
They were outside. Chappelle's special was shot outside. He was on a he was on a stage that was like a, it was like a gazebo kind of a thing, but he had, it was, it was, they lit it and they set it up and
It looked good. It didn't look quite,
even the cars that were being parked were moved apart from each other so that when people got to their car, they weren't next to each other. Yeah. It was well, it was well organized.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe something like that. Maybe that's the future. I still think drive-in theaters need to make a comeback.
Yeah.
Because that's,
I think that's people really miss going to the movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's really, especially as when, as fall comes in and the dark weather comes in, people want to go to the movies.
Maybe if people were, the movies were struggling already.
Yeah.
You know, without the coronavirus, the movies were already, people, it's just too easy to sit home and watch the same thing.
Well, they, everybody has those big ass screens like you do. Everybody went out and bought those 95 inch panoramic.
That's a 60 inches of pure entertainment enjoyment.
That's just,
it takes
like,
over the living
that's
room.
That's a wall. That's a bearing wall in my house. That's how big that is.
That's what was happening last night at 3 a.m. It wasn't so they were trying to break in. They were just following the light. They just saw the glow.
Anyway, well, that was that's a weird story, though. That is a
I'll let you. I'll keep you posted, everybody.
Yeah,
who cares?
I think you have a little friend.
We'll see.
I think somebody was visiting.
Should we tie this off?
Let's tie it up.
Good
let's
for Friday happy hour. I'll make sure and post this this afternoon.
We'll do it'll be a happy hour kind of a thing. We weren't drinking, but it'd be a happy hour.
I would post the video version of it, but honestly, I looked like hell this morning.
No, we're not going video today.
No, we don't need to do that. No. You don't need that. That's not going to cheer you up on a Friday at 4:30.
No, not at all. Not at all. All right, my friend.
Poor man.
Go move those rocks.
Okay.
All right.
Do what you got to do. All right.
Okay.
Take care.